It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Okay, time for another great edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources here on Sports Talk with Major Billy Downer. It's a great time to be outdoors in South Carolina with the weather the way it is. Not too hot out there right now. Nice feel to it. Maybe got a little bit of rain coming in for the next couple of days, but that's okay. We need that as well as turkey season has moved on, but other big things are ahead. Let's welcome in the Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. He's got a special guest standing by tonight as well. So, Major, welcome in. How are you?
Thank you, sir. Good to be here. Yep, another turkey season has come and gone. And looking at the numbers tonight before we start into our show tonight, just looks like the total harvest for this season was 10,165, which sounds a little low to me, but looking at which we know our turkey numbers are down, so that could be why. And the turkey limit is two per person this year. So Williamsburg County came in the top spot for the state for the entire season. 474 birds, with Orangeburg in a close second at 460. And then after that, looks like we're at 433, and that is Calden County.
Is that where the residents that kill the birds reside, or is that where
that's where the bird was actually taken? Okay. So that's the county in which they were taken. So that is reflective of typically that would be a good indicator of the population in that area. And Williamsburg is an area that has good birds, always has. So that would match up that they would lead the pack there. But tonight, shifting gears a little bit, something a little different. We're going to talk about the DNR canine team. And we've got Officer Corey Dantzler here with us tonight, who is one of our canine officers. And we're going to talk to him about our canine team, the ins and outs of that, kind of how it works, how it doesn't. When you talk about canine teams, people think about lots of things. They think about German Shepherds, Malinois, and all kinds of other animals. They don't think about Labrador Retrievers. But that's what we use. So let me welcome in Corey. Thanks for being a part of the show tonight. He got guilty by association today at lunch. So he got pulled in.
So how you doing this evening, Major?
I'm doing great. Good to see you today, and good to have you on the show tonight. So, Corey, tell me a couple things I gave you a heads up on. Let's tell folks for just a minute, how many dogs do we have on the team?
Currently, there are 9 dogs running active calls in the state. 3 have just retired. So Technically we have 12, but 3 are no longer running active calls.
And what's the age? So just for, since you brought up a good question here, what's the age that a dog ages out?
It really depends on the dog. Out of the 3 that are just now retiring, they range from, or 4 that retired in the last year, they range from 7 to 10, roughly.
Okay. That's right. And I know that Blake's dog's like 8, and she's still running strong.
That's right. That's right. She's on standby right now. She's ready to go if we need her.
And so I know a lot of attention was given on social media in the last year or so to our puppy. And how is he doing now?
If you're referring to Hank, today is actually Hank's birthday.
Happy birthday to Hank, Phil.
I just got done cleaning the kennels out here for him, and Hank's doing good.
You got the birthday boy.
I do.
And see, I didn't even realize that. That shows how much I knew. How about that? We've been putting it. We had so many pictures of that puppy out when he was purchased. So we're going to talk about Hank a little bit more in a minute, but just for a moment, let's talk about history. How long have we had our current canine team?
Current canine team's been on for about 10 years now.
Okay. And it started off, I know, with what, one or two dogs to begin with? And then we gradually kind of kept adding dogs.
That's right.
I know initially our dogs came from, I want to say, Washington State. Isn't that right, Corey?
That's right. And still, a lot of them still do come from Washington State. And forgive me, I cannot pronounce his last name, but
that's okay.
His first name's Ken.
So tell me why Washington State? Why there?
That part, I'll be honest, that. Major, I don't know off the top of my head.
It's not because of the actual breeding of the dog. It's actually the training of the dog is why we go
That's
to Washington, because
right.
we've proven it. That was kind of the point I wanted to make. You know, in the lab world, which I've been delved into for years now, it's all about breeding. What's the name? What's the backbone? What's their history? Do they have, you know, a great pedigree? And with our dogs, that's not necessarily the case, is it?
No. No, we've got all dogs, different shapes, sizes, colors, which is a whole lot of fun to watch. That's exactly right.
So when folks say, well, we want to breed one of your dogs, well, you might, because they have great ability, but they may not have the bloodline you're looking for to back it up. But that's not what we're looking for. What we're looking for, and I want you to talk about this for a minute, is the ball drive. That dog, it's got that tremendous ball drive.
So the ball drive is something unique, in my opinion. My personal dog, for example, he is very food-driven, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but when we're running calls and looking for evidence, it's always better to have the ball drive, in my opinion, because the dog wants the ball so bad. That's all he or she cares about. They care less about the chicken wing on the side of the road or the, you know, the McDonald's bag thrown out wherever we're running, looking for something for another agency or even for our guys. So the ball for our dogs or whatever toy it may be is very important. And that's something we look for in all of our dogs.
Okay. So talk about this, Corey. So folks that hear the word canine team, they often think of Malinois, German Shepherds, bite dogs. We don't have bite dogs. We have Labrador Retrievers. And our Labrador Retrievers, I'm going to say, I'll let you back this up in a minute, but I'm going to say this. I will put them with any of the bloodhounds I've ever run with at sled. As far as their tracking ability, they're really amazing. Their sense of smell and their drive along with it is just, to me, is such a cool thing to watch. So let's talk about for a minute, Corey, what our dogs actually do. What are our dogs trained to do? For folks that want to know,
so,
what's the DNR dog do?
Our dogs are trained to do tracking for people. We call it open area searches. So if you think of a block of woods with, you know, a child or somebody with a mental health issue that is confused and lost, and all these people have been out grid searching looking for that individual, you can't really start a track at that point. So what we do is what the open area search. So we'll turn our dogs loose with a GPS collar on and send them in to find that person. And the goal is to get them to bark when they locate that person and stay with that person until we get to them. That's why we utilize the GPS collar. Funny enough, since you mentioned him, Blake, we never could get Aria to bark. So Aria runs with a cowbell on when she does the open area searches. When the cowbell stops, you better go look, and you better follow that Garmin because it's still on her. The other things they do are articles and wildlife detection. So wildlife detection would be just like narcotic work. We just do it with specific wildlife. And then articles could be anything with human scent on it, and we focus really hard on stuff with gunpowder residue. And that could be shell casings, shotgun waddings, shotgun shells, the gun itself. But anything with human scent, like the oldest Hank has ever found an article for another agency was a item that was involved in a homicide, and it was 21 days old. It had been rained on 4 times. That's oldest find to date with Hank.
And that's a testimony to that dog's sense of smell. It is so incredible. So you said wildlife, and I want to kind of expand on that for a minute. So our dogs, when we started this, one of the things the colonel did not want is he didn't want bike dogs. He didn't want aggressive dogs. He wanted dogs that people would want to be around, that could a kid could love up on, but a dog put on the ground that could do the things we want, tracking, looking for wildlife, game, those kind of things, looking in a boat where somebody might have hidden a duck, or looking somewhere where someone might have hidden some game animal. That's what our dogs do, and they do a tremendous job of that. So you know labs are going to pick up birds. That's kind of obvious. The gun thing, you know, it's hard to explain to folks how those dogs can pick up that gunpowder and find weapons, but they can do it. And Corey, talk about like wadding. I know people might say, well, why do you care about a wad? Well, let me tell you about the gun, the wad, and why it's important. In hunting accidents, our dogs are able to go out and find the plastic wadding, which gives you the direction of fire potentially in an accident to figure out where the shot was taken, along with other factors and other pieces of evidence. You can put that together to kind of piece back what happened in a hunting accident. And that's not something that any other dog can do. So it's really cool that our dogs are able to do that. Corey, tell us.
I agree.
Tell me something cool. You were telling me about Hank today, that there's times you want to just beat your head against the wall.
Yeah.
For the things that he likes that distract him. Let's talk about distraction for a minute. I thought that was interesting.
So I was talking to the major earlier, and, you know, for whatever reason, I can't tell you why, but I know my dog. If there's acorns around, or if there's ivy, or if there's cat poop, we're gonna struggle for the first couple minutes. Funny enough, we just got back from North Carolina this past month. We were up there for K-9 certifications. We have to certify annually through a national group, and my scenario track began in acorns and ivy leaves. And the whole first part of my track, all you hear is me going, leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it. And then he hits the track, and I know he's on it, and I go, oh, good, track. And after that, it was lights out. I mean, the whole rest of the way, we were golden. And that's the fun part about working the dogs. They're all different.
They all have a different personality, don't they?
That's right. That's right.
Every one of them. And like you said, certain things motivate them. When we talk about ball drive, and just for folks listening that may not understand that, the dog's reward is that toy or ball for doing the right thing. And as you these dogs, their reward is, and the desire to do it may be there, their ability to do it may be there, but you really hype that desire up by them getting that prize at the end of doing a good job. And they are so excited about the ball or the toy. So for Hank, what is it?
So for Hank, funny enough, if you look in the back of my truck, Major, there's a box in the back of my truck. There for a while, I was rotating toys out, because every 3 to 4 months, he would get tired of the tug toy. He would get tired of the tennis ball. So for Hank, his biggest thing is he loves the play, the praise, and the ball. It's all got to be combined. Not necessarily the ball, but the toy. It's all got to be combined. If it's not, he'll lose interest. If you give him that toy or ball too much, or that play and that praise too much, he'll lose focus. So it's a fine line. As mean as that sounds,
you reward him with enough, that. But not too much.
That's right.
So tell me about, so our dogs are on call 24 hours a day. I know I get the incident pages on when y'all are deployed. It seems like it's sometimes it's hourly. Going out for anything from looking for an escaped suspect for a sheriff's office, or looking for a gun that may have been thrown in the woods off a traffic stop, or a hunting accident or a game, or a person just like today, right, Corey? We had someone that was older that had been lost for 3 days, and the dog helped find them. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right, so a lot of fun things there, but y'all have to practice to keep those dogs sharp. Tell me about the practice y'all do, and how often do you do it?
So we train once a week, every single week, as an entire team somewhere in the state. It's not always the same place. We try to do it as central as possible. But, I mean, we all experience different things across the entire state. So anytime we run across something that kind of makes us, you know, sit back and go, did my dog miss it, or did I miss something? And funny enough, a lot of times, at least in my experience with Hank, and I'm going to quote a former handler who him and his dog he got promoted, his dog retired, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about without saying his name, but trust your dog. Trust your dog. They're usually right. You're usually wrong.
and that is sometimes hard for us humans to trust a dog. Now, I can tell you stories about my lab when I was trying to get it to go where I thought a bird went, and she was not listening. And I'm getting madder and madder, and then she picks the bird up where I didn't think it was.
That's right.
You got to trust the dog. You got to trust the dog. So training-wise, what do we do to train?
So typically we'll set up scenarios. We go back, just like anything else, if you think of sports, go back to the basics. If you don't have a good foundation, you won't be able to succeed at anything else. The basics include like we call them BSD boxes, behavioral shaping devices. So it's typically, once you build up to it, it's four boxes with a hole in it, and it's got a piece of wildlife, if you will, in one of the boxes, and we call that the hot box.
Okay.
And just running boxes in a straight line back and forth or in a square and making that round or that run up and down until the wind's right, you know, that would be a basic. But we have a great opportunity at headquarters and at Sticks where we have older boats, older trucks. We'll do hides and trucks, boats, buildings, in the woods. I mean, you name it, setting stuff up like that. Same thing with articles. I mean, we'll set articles up, whether it be a fired shell casing, a gun itself, anything with human scent on it, right? I mean, gloves, hat, shirt, book bag, hides that are high, hides that are low, and some stuff we've toyed with a little bit here lately is, especially the newer dogs that just graduated, is doing bigger articles, so like a book bag or a hat.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is because if you run your dog on a 22 casing all the time, something that small, they're used to looking for a small item. The bigger items, believe it or not, a lot of times when they get up to it, they kind of freak out. They don't know what to do. And we've even gone as far as major. I mean, we had a turkey hit by a truck last year, the year before, and we saved it. We put it in the freezer, and we actually trained on a whole turkey instead of just a piece of a turkey, which was pretty interesting because a lot of times, you know, these dogs, they know the smell when it's a 2-pound piece of deer meat, but when they see a 140-pound buck, they kind of lose their mind. They kind of freak out. And I know you've got experience with dogs. You know, right. Whoa, this is overwhelming. And even the tracks, we'll lay tracks through wooded areas. We've gone to public parks, public areas, even on concrete, asphalt, woods, all that. We've laid tracks across that, cross tracks, which would mean I would walk one way and then say Lieutenant Branham would walk across my track intentionally. And then
see, the dog would change track.
Another dog would start that track on that person, whoever laid it. So, I mean, it's a variety of things, but we try to use anything that we've encountered in the field or on a call and bring that in and incorporate it in training.
Hey guys, let me ask you real quick. Got a question here from a listener, a text message from the 843. So down in the, I guess, PD Low Country area. And
sure.
The question is, what happens to the retired dogs? What happens to the retired dogs?
Great question.
So
retired dogs go to, they don't get put away. They don't get put down. Generally, go ahead, Corey. I'll let you answer. You're on the team.
typically the handler is going to want to keep their partner. I'll be honest. Somebody tries to take Hank from me, it's going to be rough. I love him. My little girl loves him.
So here's the other thing. Let me say that. Our dogs live with our officers. They stay in their truck all the time. Each of our officers has. So that's something we haven't talked about, Corey, and we'll hit that very quickly. They have trucks that have dog enclosures in the back seat. So a four-door truck with a dog enclosure in the back seat. Those trucks designed to run all the time. A lot of them are diesels now. Is that right, Corey? Make sure I'm right on that.
Yes, sir.
We run them all the time. And they have monitors in them so that if an officer walks away from his truck, goes in somewhere, they don't ever cut their truck off if the dog's in there because the air conditioner's running to keep that dog cool, to keep the dog ready to go at any time. And they have what we call heat alarms in there. So if the truck was cut off or if the inside of the truck got too hot, it alarms to the officer to let them know they got a problem. They need to go take care of it right now. So we have spent a lot of money, a lot of time investing in these dogs and making sure the equipment that we have for them and for our handlers is first rate. And to these guys, again, these dogs live with them. They go in the truck with them all day long. They come back home. They stay at home with them. And it's great because it builds as I can tell you, and those of us that have had dogs, you know, the more you build that relationship, the more that dog trusts you, the more you can trust that dog. Corey, am I right on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm going to hit you with one. We're short for time. I got into an argument with you today, so I'm going to give you the floor to say your piece on this. We have black labs. We have yellow labs. And for some reason, we have some chocolate labs. Corey, tell me, what's your favorite?
So for me, Hank, for those of y'all who don't know what Hank looks like, he's a chocolate lab, just turned four today. For me, and he's a chocolate lab male, some people will tell you that is the most stubborn of labs. For me, same thing
one.
I told the major.
My first lab was a chocolate lab, so I come from experience.
Same thing I told the major earlier today. For me, it's good for me because I know I'm stubborn. And it's fun for me to work him because I know when he's goofing off. I know when he's going to eat those ivy leaves. I know he's going to eat those acorns. And he can be a little knothead sometimes. But that's what makes it fun for me. So for me, it's a chocolate lab. Some people will tell you other things, different opinions, but hands down for me, chocolate lab all day.
Absolutely. And so Blake Baxley, who used to be on the team with you, is a lieutenant with me now, and his dog's a yellow lab. He's going to tell you all day long, yellow lab's the best lab there is, period.
So I will touch on that, Major, since you brought him up, speaking of him and his dog, those are the two who got me interested in K-9 initially.
Oh, no doubt. He does a tremendous job with his dog. His dog and he were a great team. And I know we're glad we still have Aria with us as an active member of the team. And Blake's there on standby, too. Fun thing for me is, as I've told you, Phil, before, looking back, I actually got to promote a young man that works with me now, and he and I, his dad and I, were partners. That's how old I am. Tim trained me somewhat when I started back in 1998. Now his son's working with me. So sometimes I look back and go, wow, it's been a long time, but what a great ride. Well, Corey, any closing thoughts before we let go tonight?
I appreciate y'all having me.
About the team. Absolutely. Great to have you.
I may sound a little biased, but one thing I love about our team is we lead every week with a devotion. That's how we start off K-9 training every single week.
Thank you for being a part of the show and y'all's dedication. Phil, next time.
Thank you, Major. Great job. Great show. Have a great night, everybody.